Well, very good, everyone. Well, once again, hey, we're happy to have you online, and I am over the moon to see you here on this beautiful Sunday morning. I want to just thank so many of you. You were here yesterday for our, really, the pre-build of the loft house in the back parking lot. We had so many capable hands, both young and old, that I've never seen our loft house get assembled and in pieces to be put on the trailer before we had lunch. So we actually just loaded on the trailer, had lunch at 1 o'clock, and we planned it for 1 o'clock because we found last time we had lunch, so many people went home. And so we said, we'll feed you after. But thank you, Sean Knight and Megan Knight. Sean is our GO director, our GO committee. We're grateful for that. I see so many of your friendly faces. And everybody hold up your hands. Make sure none of your fingers are wrapped in bandages. That was wonderful. Hey, we had, Ainsley and I also had our grandchildren in our house. We had a grandchildren's camp out in our backyard. We put the tents up. We had a whole schedule laid out. It was a boatload of fun. It really was. I still feel like hamburger meat. But it was really, the children are so cute, so wonderful. Honey, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. But it's our first time to be able to do that, though we've had what's called sleepovers. And boy, the children are growing up, and it's really a lot of fun. I can't believe it. It's like you are all from the same couple. How can you be so different? What is going on? And I am finding in society, it could be the same thing. You have the same person brought in from the same school district, same economical background, same good family origin kind of a thing. And one seems to make it in life and the other just can't quite get traction. What's the difference? And I'm finding it really is the way people respond to what happens to them. Because we all have stuff that hits the fan. Isn't that true? Hits the fan. So most are saying it's 10% of what happens to you that makes or break your life, and 90% of how you respond to what happens to you. So that's the beautiful thing about being followers of Jesus. It's kind of like, man, my life's not going right. Lord, show and direct and help me. So I just want to just highlight, we are beginning a new series, and if you get a chance and take a look at your bulletin card, let's get used to writing notes because we want to get acclimated back into life groups. You who are at home, I just hope you got your little steno pad or your little, I don't know, there's always those freebies that are out there. Let's make sure we take notes. We're going to launch, our series is entitled Tuning Up Family Life. Tuning Up Family Life. Tuning Up Family Life. Everything needs a tune-up. Isn't that true? So I just want to kind of highlight here before you go, because some of you are going to say, you didn't tell a joke. Here's one right now. Tune in it up. Our ushers do a great job here at Hope Chapel. And if any of you say, I want to be just like that man or woman I grow up, then you go see Pastor David. But there was a elderly woman came in, this is a joke. And the usher says, ma'am, may I seat you? She goes, I would like to sit right in the front row, right where this energetic Paul sits. I want to sit right there. And he said, oh, ma'am, may I just let you know, our pastor is really boring, and he will put you to sleep, and you don't want to be embarrassed that way. She says, young man, do you know who I am? No. So I am the pastor's mother. And he dropped his head. And he looked up and he said, do you know who I am? She said, no. He said, oh, thank God. And he ran out the door. So tuning up family life. Everything needs a tune-up. If you enjoy working with motors, you realize early on, if you went through high school like I did, wood shop and auto mechanics, you had motors that actually needed a tune-up where you put in spark plugs and you changed the oil. And if you didn't, you paid a higher cost later. Now you have a two-stroke engine in your mower, and I've taken the air filter. I was like, where did all that dirt come from? My yard doesn't have that amount of dirt. But you change out the oil, and still to this day, even though motors have a lot of electronic plastic to it, I don't know what they're talking about, I still change all of our oil and air oil filters in our vehicles, always have. Save a lot of money that way, isn't that true? And it goes straight to my wife's beautician. Isn't that great? I love it. I benefit somehow. It's great that way. So be able to take those tune-ups, because we're finding in tuning up family life, all families have unique dynamics. And just the culture will cause changes that will require a little bit of work, a little bit of maintenance, and needed help that's so necessary, because families need that. And you need to take a look and say, I want to be a lifelong learner about how to put this together, or you're going to find things start to gnaw at your family and dissolve it. So we're going to begin this series not so much on husband and wife relationships, and I knew you'd probably think, but because so many of you are asking about the real nature of just our society, today's message is entitled A Healthy Blended Family. We're going to start there. A healthy blended family. Let's pray. Father, help us to do that. Lord, where would we be? We would not be healthy if it wasn't for Jesus showing how to do life a better way. So Lord, may my words really be your words. And they're just things we need to hear that we've not been able to hear in the past. So Lord, we pray, do that. Help us, lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most of us growing up have learned how to function as a family through television. Sometimes you'll see a family that is kind of portrayed and it's like over-the-top dysfunctional unhealth. It's like, man, I can relate to that, but how do we get out of that? Others like, that's not realistic. That's no, I don't know anybody that lives that way. Let me show a couple of you about what some families have been portrayed on TV, some sitcoms. First of all, how many remember Leave It to Beaver? Leave It to Beaver. That was way before my time, but you can see in the black and white photographs, you have this modeled family. It's like, what? You have the mother there. She's a stay-at-home mom. She just always has this beautiful outfit on. Dinner is ready when needed. She's happy. Everybody's happy. And then you have the father. He works this perfect job. Great job. Always home on time. Plays with the kids. He's happy. He's always seems to be so smart and always has this big smile, a little stern. And then you have the two boys. Remember Wally and Beaver, which is Leave It to Beaver. Boys are a little bit mischievous, but after that little 30-minute segment, they always end up happy, adjusted, obedient, respectable boys. Like, oh, cool. What? Anyway, but that's that. I think I saw every one of those segments before junior high class opened up. And then you have another family, as you can see, a little more modern in the color, and that is the Brady Bunch. That's where we get our blended family. Now we're getting a little more realistic. You have this lady who has all girls, they're blonde. You have this man who has all boys, and they get married, and they blend together. A little bit of issues, but it always works out so well. But you know what? The writers of the program leave off some big-time stuff that they are overlooking. And one of that is, we don't know anything about the mom and pop. Were they divorced? Are they widowed? Who? Because that would bring on a whole other dimension of what's going on. But they leave those things out. We just deal with these blended family. So when we start taking a look at that, whether you are a blended family, and we do have a lot of them, there's a couple of topics we want to touch on today, because we know the dimensions and dynamics and the cultures change. And for me to try to relate, I just know one thing. It's always Jesus. Amen. And always bringing in biblical principles. And it's wonderful to be married. But it helps me personally to try to become a better person. And I often sit down with couples in their premarital meetings to say, if you're going to be married, how much are you willing to change going into this marriage? That's important. Because if you're going to marry for 20% change, You need to write that down and laminate it, ladies, and put it in your purse. It's like, you're going to change 60%. Okay, I'm going to change 60% because I'm going to make this marriage work. Man, you go ahead and decoupage it and put it up on the bathroom wall. Do something. Because you want to go into that marriage saying, hey, we're going to make this the best we can. Because I'll tell you, I've never seen a problem marriage. Never. It's God's design. I just see people with problem hearts who get married and they don't want to change. So when you have people that don't want to change and they get now remarried, you just bring that challenge into the next marriage. Some reality is roughly 45% of first-time marriages will end in divorce, both Christians and non-Christians. That scares people nowadays. They hear that and they realize, well, I'm not ready to get married. Second marriages, 60% will end in divorce. And then it gets worse after that. The third marriage, then it's 73% will end in divorce. So marriage is not a problem. It's a design by God. It's just people with just broken hearts, broken lives who don't want to change and have God touch them to put it together. So here's some good news. It doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. We recognize that, boy, the Lord does some neat and wonderful works in our lives. And I'm just going to hit some big time categories. And may the Lord just help us to translate it into your areas. You can see on your note, your bulletin card, the first category is divorce and remarriage. Divorce and remarriage. And then we're going to hit divorce and remarriage with children. So you can imagine remarrying. You all need to recognize, and you who are at home and you who are just taking a look at the subject matter, and you know because you've asked about this topic, whenever we get married, even if it's for the first time, you always marry a family. You do not. You got the relatives upon relatives upon relatives and the culture upon culture. So it's not just the one person that you googly eyes over. You got to go visit the family and say, woo. And consider, can we really hold the line on this one? It's going to be important. So when we take a look at divorce and remarriage, I want to now address you as a topic. Because there are still people who feel they've gone through a divorce or significant rejection, and they doubt if they are loved. They doubt if God forgives them. They really doubt if they have value. And I want to hit those three topics. It's very important. You must understand you are still loved. You are still forgiven. You are the same value to God. Let's talk about that. Number one, take a look at your notes. You are loved just the same before you got your divorce. You are loved just the same. God never views you as used product. Watch out when we come along and say, well, now that I'm tarnished, does God look at me any less? Does the church look at me any less? Boy, people wrestle with that, and so we're going to lay that on out there. I like to go with the word. Let's look here at Romans chapter 8. Can you look at that? We're going to put it up there, Romans 8, 38. Let's let the Lord and his word speak to us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, man, that's the day I found what I was looking for when I discovered Jesus. It's like, man, that is it. To experience that kind of transformational love. But the trap I get into, and possibly you as well, is that now that maybe I'm divorced, or is my past defining my future or who I am? That's a lie. Be careful about that. Don't ever do that. There'll be enough people out there that will remind you of your jaded past, but don't. That's not the spirit of Jesus. So you recognize it says nothing here about the past. It's important we take a look at that. You are defined by how God views you. It's going to be important. And if you've not experienced that reality, wouldn't it be sweet if you received Jesus today and just let him speak to your heart? Oh, that's so important. There's no way you can talk about it, but until you say, now I'll give Jesus a try. Give Jesus a try. You could always go back to do the old stuff anyway. Give him a try. There's oh man, what is back there for me anyway? But go for it. Nothing can separate us from his love, including divorce. So it's important. Now, divorce is ugly. God hates divorce. Malachi 2, it says that. It's not his ideal plan, but we're talking about how good God is. So let's look at Psalm 103, verse 11. Psalm 103, verse 11. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. That's what I love. That's why I follow Jesus. His unfailing love. So true, so necessary. So you may be divorced because of something you did or something somebody did to you, but that doesn't change God's love for you. It all happens because we're broken people, and let's call it what it is. It's called sin. Sin. Man, when sin comes in, like it did to Adam and Eve, and it kicked them out of the garden that was in Eden, it's what happens to well-meaning good people. Sin comes in. What do we deal with sin? We ask God to forgive us. Just take a look at 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says this, but if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. How much? From all unrighteousness. So you are forgiven. Let's go on that notion. It's not an issue of forgiveness. But sometimes people say, I don't know if God's going to forgive me. And they panic. People panic. So I've committed that verse to memory because that same work of darkness, demonic powers that caused me to sin, go back to where I said I wasn't going to do that, will also beat me up and say, see, you're wretched dude, here you are. God's not going to forgive you this time. You keep doing that. No, God's faithful and he's just to forgive. If I confess, Lord, I blew it again. I'm counting on your faithfulness. So let's go to number two. You are forgiven just the same. Just the same as when you were married or even before. Now you find yourself divorced and remarried. You're still forgiven. You're still forgiven. Psalm 103, verse 12. Take a look at that. 103, verse 12 says, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender, compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers that we are only dust. Isn't that nice? God is slow and compassionate. He is not like people. People will continue to remind you how you blew it. That's not the way God rolls. He doesn't bring that stuff up. There'll be people that'll bring it up. It is interesting. You may have things that keep tripping you up. I do find it's improving, but there are people that think that divorce is the unpardonable sin. There was a time early on in our ministry, it's like we were having people coming out of ministry because they got divorced. And they thought, now the church won't forgive them, God won't forgive them. That is not the unpardonable sin. You write it down. This is what it is, Matthew 12:31. Write down Matthew 12:31. Jesus says, I'll tell you, this is what will not be forgivable. And he describes attributing the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit to Satan. Because he's doing some miracles, and man, the audience is saying he's doing that by the spirit of Beelzebub. He said, whoa, wait a minute. Every sin will be forgiven. Jesus said that. Even if you blaspheme the name of Jesus, it will be forgiven. But the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Why? It's the Holy Spirit that led you here today. So Holy Spirit says, man, maybe I should check out getting right with God. That was God that whispered to you. If the Holy Spirit is not around because you or I offended him, that sin becomes unpardonable. You'll think, man, no big deal. See how that works? We need him, the Holy Spirit. Thank God for repentance and change. That's why you only hear people use the Lord's name in vain. GD that, JC this, right? Yep. You don't hear anybody say, oh, Holy Spirit. Huh? Just doesn't roll. So it's important to recognize what the unpardonable sin really is. And it's not divorce. So God still loves us the same. He still forgives us the same. I love that about him. And I want to tell everybody about him. Get with God. He'll work you over in a good way. Number three, you are valued just the same. Because God loves you the way he does, you can be assured that you hold great value to him. Great value to him. Nothing changes. God doesn't change. He's holy. He's the unchangeable God. So hang in there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says this. For you are God's masterpiece. I love that. That's why I like working with people. Ooh, what are we going to do with them today, God? Sick 'em, Holy Spirit. I like that. For you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, it's important, if you look at that verse, he never uses the word unless you're divorced. You're his masterpiece unless you really gummed up the works. It's important, great value, don't change. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He really does. You want to hang out with people that talk the way I'm talking. And just say, hey, what is God doing? Let's coach you into that. We're not going to do it for you, but he'll do it for you. Let's keep it going. Let's check out here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Says this, verse 26, I'm in Galatians chapter 3. Says, for you are all children of God through Christ, or faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism, yay, baptism, have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Ooh, I would read about those blessings. Write down Deuteronomy 28. There's a lot of blessings there. It's great. You're blessed going in, blessed coming out. You claim that. Don't stop. What is important, I like this verse. Foursquare Movement believes that women are equally gifted like men to lead ministry. Here's one of the verses. There's neither now Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, we're all one. God's Spirit will use you if you let him. And that's a beautiful thing to just see some of our great young ladies rise up, do great exploits for God because of you ladies who are modeling in front of others. God's gift is my ability to teach or to lead or to serve or to help. Pretty awesome. So when we take a look here, it's pretty wonderful. And that's the joy of, I'm looking forward to our discipleship, Square 3 starting up next month, where it's heavily into The Charismatic Pentecostal teaching, thank you, sweet Ainsley's going to be teaching. My favorite teacher, female that is. Wink, wink. And square four in our reaching the crown is all about really finding our gifts in society, the body of Christ. Something called SHAPES, where we use the acronym, but the E is experience. And your divorce and remarriage will lead to some great stories that will be very, very helpful. Very, very helpful. So we need that Spirit of God on your life, and what you've experienced is going to be extremely important, because God has his kingdom in mind and you're part of that. Well, let's take a look now. Divorced and remarriage. Now we go to divorce and remarriage with children. I'm just going to highlight this. It's very much in keeping with what we just went through. But just going back, to get married for the first time is so exciting, so exciting. No one ever expects that somehow those joys would get ripped off, but you start to learn to live with somebody. Now, when ready-made children come into the fold, wow, that's a whole nother dynamic. It requires tremendous sacrifice. That's why when I say, how much are you willing to change? Oh, we just live on love. Sure. So it's going to be important that you're willing to say, I'm willing to give it my all. Member of my family, young lady, love her, first marriage. She's in that mid-30s, first marriage, married a man with four adult kids. They're both very good in their industry, and she just had her first baby. Yeah. Talk about a blended family. That's a unique dimension. And we could go on to stories, and it's yet to be told. But it's going to be important. I just find and tell people, man, make sure you ask God for wisdom on anything. Matter of fact, check it out with me. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says this, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I believe that. I have experienced that. Can you just spend a little time with Jesus before going off to work or to school? Lord, what direction should I take? I know what I'm going to do, but I just want to ask you by reason of humble attitude. He will show you. He will show you. And especially with the variations of blended families, married with children, divorced, married, and now children involved. Because parents, if you want to know how best to love and raise your children, let's talk about it. Look at how God loves and is raising you. Husbands, if you want to know best how to love and support your wife, look at how God is loving and raising you. Let's look here for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. It just says this, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. Hello. We're all, what a blend. Look at us, huh? Keep looking straight ahead. Don't go looking at your neighbor. Yeah. God's very creative, isn't he? God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we are all brought in. We're all adopted. By faith in Jesus, God says, you're in my forever family. And you're going to have some unique creations of mine hanging on to you. And we need all the help we can. We know that the Bible's talking about that the Jewish people were God's selected family because Jesus was Jewish. He needed to have the bloodline for the sacrifice. And he was hoping that the Jewish nation would represent him to the world through miracles. And people would be jealous. Hey, I want what you got. But they did not follow Jesus. They did not follow God. They went off, as the Bible says, became idolaters. But this adoption, he's opened it up to everybody else that's not Jewish. And if you were to take a look at Scripture, there's only three kinds of people in the world. God doesn't go with ethnicity. You're either a Jew by birth, and if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, which means a non-Jew. And then if you accept Jesus, you're not a Jew or a Gentile, you are a child of God. It's called the church. It's amazing. New Testament. So when we deal with this, let's take a look at John chapter 1, verse 12. And then we're going to hit the 3 points and call it a glorious day. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12, because it talks about how we're accepted into the family. But to all, how many people? But to who? But to all who believe in him and accepted him. He gave the right to become children of God. Check it out. Look at that. But to all. I've had people say, you know, Paul, that's why I don't like you Christians, man. You're like so narrow-minded. It's like it's the your way or nothing. I say, well, wait, who? It's Jesus. And he's open to everyone. Everybody gets to come. Nobody's exempt. But to all who believe him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So, dear friends, if you who know a Christian, probably sitting right next to you, good job, and you say, man, you're so much nicer to me lately. Oh, you really kind of, what's happened to you? You joined a cult, didn't you? I know you did. Oh, Jesus has changed me. I've got this rebirth going on. And I want to please him. It's a beautiful thing. So when we take a look, let me just highlight our 3 points, because this will help you who are divorced, remarried, with children. Deal with them the same way God deals with you. Number one on your notes, check it out with me. Here we go. Love your children the same way that Christ loves you. I hope you've experienced the love of God. Amen. Remember when Jesus says, you want to first command, love God with all you have, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Somebody said, if you don't love yourself, your neighbor's in trouble. So let's see what's going on. Love your children that are from another union the same way God loves you. You were adopted. You were brought in. You really have no claim to fame. It was God's grace, and you said, I'll take that. Number two, forgive your children in the same way that Christ forgives you. Boy, I'll tell you, forgiveness is such a gift. To know you're forgiven. But because the knocking of heads and the disruption of life and the frustration with things not going well, not setting up home the way you want, forgiveness is a great, great gift. It's so beautiful. Same way you've experienced with Jesus. Number three, value your children the same way Christ values you. Value them. Do you feel you're valued by God? Then let's extend that grace to those little children. And some of you have adult children that you say, man, the kid's 40, should know better. Well, still value them. Because by law, they belong to you. And so with that, being a blended family means double the drama, double the love, and definitely double the fun. Remember double good gum? Okay, we just glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. In a moment, we're going to close off and thank you for coming. Thank you so much for coming. But maybe here today, and you have not experienced what it is for God to love you like that or to really feel forgiven. or you really are just an unhappy person, and everybody who knows you is unhappy because you're stirring it up. But God loves you right now, and he's offering a new life, a better way to you. I'm so grateful for our online audience. I'm going to invite you to pray with me out loud. You're there by yourself, maybe. And if you're here in the room and you've never invited Christ to be your Savior and Lord, again, go for it. You could always just go back to the old garbage. God has something better. Let me lead you in a prayer, and that prayer is going to be about, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross. Come into my life. He will. Let's pray that together. Dear Jesus, let's try it again. Dear Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Son of God. And I confess to you now that I have sinned against you and against other people. I'm sorry. Come into my life. Be my Lord. And be my Savior. I believe you died for me, Lord. I believe you rose to life for me, Lord. Now let me experience new life with you. I trust you, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, what a wonderful day. You know, it's always so important for us. Oftentimes we'll have people stand that they prayed that prayer, or they come forward and pray with our prayer wall. You who are with us online, thank you for emailing me or the office. I prayed that prayer. We want to get a Bible in your hand. But what's important is you find a faith family like this and start your journey off. If, in fact, you prayed that prayer for the first time or rededicated your life to God, I want to encourage you. Would you just raise your hand up so we can thank the Lord and just say, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Just go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is glorious. And if, in fact, you came with somebody and you didn't raise your hand, don't let that bum you out. Because I know how the enemy is, you can't even stand up for me. Don't do that. But you tell your friend, I prayed. When the pastor asks us to pray to receive Jesus, that's a great beginning. They'll be so happy because we want to thank the Lord. It says this in Luke 15, verse 7, when one sinner repents, all the angels in heaven rejoice. Check it out. Check it out. Can we just applaud for those two hands? And way to go. Praise God. The miracle of the cross. Well, I want to invite our prayer wall people up, and let me dismiss you in prayer, and let's make sure we get a chance. What does the prayer wall mean? If you want healing of anything or just pray for something or someone, come on up. These individuals are here to pray with you. The rest we're going to dismiss, especially if you have children. Go ahead and make sure. We're not going to sing, but honey, you're going to... Oh, look at that face. How can I deny you? Come on up here. Come on.
Very exciting. And Paul brought up an analogy in the first service that he didn't bring in the second. And it was important enough that I felt that that I'd like to share it. He said, imagine you having a home with a beautiful pool in the backyard. It's just this beautiful pool that you put all kinds of time and effort into building, and you enjoy sitting by it and playing in it, and it's just such a joy to you. Over time, it gets neglected, and the scum begins to build on the bottom, and in time, you haven't put any bleach in, and the water's disgusting, and it's starting to make mosquitoes and all that kind of stuff, and you say, well, heck with it. I'm sick of this pool. So you take a backhoe and you fill in the pool and you say, enough of that. But I'm going to build another pool. And so you go into another part of the backyard and you dig a hole and you build another pool and you say, that's going to be way better than the pool that I had before. That so many times that can be how we view marriage. That the pool gets a little scummy and it is starting to have all kinds of issues, and just would be easier to fill it in and start over. And that happens. That happens. But what if we were at a place where we could say, you know, if God, if I can believe the Lord and if he can help me, maybe I can start skimming this thing. Maybe I don't have to start over from scratch. Maybe there's something we're saving here. And that might be you this morning. You might be thinking that you're just on the verge of letting things end. Just want to encourage you that if you're in that spot, that let's pray. Here's why we have a great prayer team here, because you may be in a great challenge in your marriage. And if it is that you've already experienced divorce, it's okay. God loves and values us just the same. It's all right. But why go build another pool if you can clean the one you have? And so I just want to encourage us with that this morning. So much, well, you get the point. So let me just pray for you. God, we just pray right now, because there's not one marriage that hasn't thought, sometimes multiple times, of saying, this is it. I am out of here. I am so done. And even the best marriages face those times where people say, I feel like I would be better off if I left. Lord, would you come? You're a miracle-working God. And we ask that for people who find themselves in that spot today, would you give them hope, and would you help them, and would you allow them to allow a church family to maybe help however we can? Your power is great. Your spirit is strong. And Lord, we want to keep what we have instead of starting all over. And Lord, we bless and thank you. And if we have started over, well, God bless that marriage too. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. God bless you.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.